excuse me for my voice, but I have never, never seen anything like it.
Hey, now, if we wanted to hit mailboxes, we could let Ralph drive. We're the best
of friends. Moron, your bus is leaving.
Welcome to this Oregon State edition of the On the Road Home podcast. This is Ken Crawford reporting to you on the road home from my family room to my living room. Another away game that I'm not going to anymore that, well, to be quite frank, I wouldn't want to be there anyway. The Bears laid another egg, losing 35-7 to the Oregon State Beavers. And before we even get to this game, I think we should talk about how many eggs they've laid this season. Because they've had four road games so far this season, and they've lost all four, and obviously that's the storyline. And there's good reason to be critical of that, because there's definitely games in there they should be winning that they're not. But there's really only two egg lays here, and even this one comes with a caveat. The Nevada game, we were within one score well into the second half, and they kind of broke it open at the very end. That was not a blowout. That was not an egg lay by the Bears. There were definitely some defensive scheme problems that made the Bears lose that game, in addition to some other mistakes that didn't help. But it wasn't an atrocious performance. Nevada is pretty darn good, with a very tricky offense to defend. And then, of course, Arizona. We lost that on a last-minute drive by Arizona after mostly dominating that game. And a couple of missed field goals and one drive at the end of the game is all that stands between the Bears and victory there. Definitely not an egg-laying performance. But there's no doubt these last two are much more troubling. The Bears came out of the locker room in both of them and were just terrible. But I had the feeling that the Bears were in the beginning of putting something together, of not looking like they did at USC when Riley went down. Yes, the defense still gave up many more points. Yes, the offense never showed anything good. Yes, the penalties were inexcusable. Yes, the offensive line play was pretty weak. But Riley went down, and we put in a quarterback who has not seen a meaningful snap ever. He's never played in a game more than just handing it off. He's thrown just a couple of balls before this one. So you really cannot judge the offensive performance here by the same metrics that you would normally. Now, that doesn't give us plenty of reasons to be critical. As I said, they did still come out of the locker room weak, got a first down, punted. Again, the penalties were really disastrous this week. I mean, truly disastrous. And a number of drives where the Bears seemed to be getting something together were ended because of holding penalties. Unfortunately, our telecast was not very good, so we didn't get a very good view of most of these holding penalties. But the ones they show, there was definitely holding there. I'm just not sure how tight of a game they were calling. Perhaps they were being a little over picky. But there were a number they showed that were pretty bad. And they really killed. And I think that's the sort of thing that's really giving this perception that the Bears struggle on the road. It's that they're doing the little things wrong, too. It's not just that they're losing. It's that you see all the other pieces around the team falling apart. I mean, there's no excuse for that many penalties. Now, my person to pick on, and somebody who I think had at least three holding penalties, and also whiffed on a number of plays, two specifically come to mind, is our right tackle, Edwards, Donovan Edwards. I'm just beside myself of why he is still our starter. Matt Summers-Gavin, whenever he's been in there, the team has played much better. I think he's almost a leader on that offensive line. and he's not playing. Edwards is getting the start game after game. It's like I'm curious if he has one of those high ankle sprains that nobody wants to admit is there, and that's why he's not playing, because I just can't in my mind understand why he's not playing right now based on performance. He came in a game or two ago, started looking pretty good, and now he's not starting again. And it's not that he's just not starting, he's not playing. So maybe there is an injury there that they're not telling us about, and Tedford is particularly tight-lipped about that sort of thing. But if I was still a reporter, that would be on the top of my list of questions. Why isn't MSG playing? Why is Edwards, who has never measured up, who's never had that it factor that you need on the offensive line, continuing to play when Gavin is such, is a pretty darn good offensive lineman. So I really hope there's some injury that they're covering up, because that's the only thing that would be defensible in this situation. But, I mean, that, you know, that one guy is not going to solve all the problems. There's no doubt about it. It's just one of those things that gets under my skin, and I wish I knew more. We've got the whole rest of the team and offense just not in rhythm. And I really wish I would have seen a lot more traditional passing opportunities for Manchin. And I know they don't want to overwhelm him. I sure hope Riley's coming back next week, because while Manchin got some time today, it wasn't enough. And by time, I don't just mean playing time. Obviously, he played three quarters of the game. But the number of times Tedford let him go down the field and risk being intercepted and all those sorts of things was pretty small. Maybe 10 passes. And since this is somebody we may be relying on next week in a game where the Bears really should win, and having a serviceable quarterback will be the difference between whether it's a win that should go down just as you expect and a tough one, it's so important. And so getting Manchin to that next level where he's got that game experience is so important. And the game was out of reach. We knew the Bears weren't going to win from the minute Riley went down. And when they scored a couple more touchdowns, it was even more clear. So let Manchin throw the ball. Let him get some experience. Let him make the mistakes. Don't handcuff him with not running the full offense. And they did give him some. I will give him credit. As the game progressed, I saw more and more of him being able to throw down the field and giving some opportunities. So there was some of it. I just wish there was more. And this also goes back to the complaint that others, and I've echoed some of them, although I haven't been one of the leading chargers of it, of why weren't we seeing him with meaningful opportunities in previous games, in the UC Davis game, in the Colorado game, the UCLA game, the Arizona State game. These were all opportunities to get some meaningful pass opportunities. The USC game on the loss. You know, get these people in there. Yes, you want to build up some confidence in your quarterback, but there's some point, you know, 10 minutes left in the game against USC where you just say, nope, it's time to go to somebody else, get them some experience. That's what these opportunities are for. And I'm seeing less and less of that as the Tedford era continues. We saw more of it back in 2003 and 2004 and 2005. And since 2006, when Longshore took over, it hasn't been that way at all. And I really think it's an area where Tedford has regressed and is not looking at the big picture. I think he's had one too many games that made him too nervous to do the right thing for the big picture. And you have to keep doing that. There's no reason to be nervous in those situations. So if Riley comes back, you know, we might be just fine. But the fact that Manchin has so little experience will definitely continue to hurt us as the season progresses. Now, the good news is we got Washington State next. If we can win that game with him under center, that's a full game for him to improve. The Oregon game probably is out of reach at that point, but yet it's yet another game to give him some experience and to build him up, that hopefully by the time we get to the big game, he has enough experience and enough control of the offense and everything that goes along with it, that we've got a meaningful shot at the big game with a increasingly good quarterback. Now, it might be that all this won't matter. Riley will be back next week. We haven't heard the prognosis on his knee, at least as of the time of this podcast. So we'll see. But even if Riley's fine and he never misses another down, it is still and proof of why your backup quarterback is important. I mean, because imagine if we were kind of all expecting to lose this game, and yes, the magnitude of it makes it more frustrating, but at least to me, it's like, well, frustrating, but I'd already marked this off as a loss. We'll be okay. But imagine if this was next week. Imagine if this was Washington State, and we lost the game because Manchin couldn't deliver. That's a critical game we need to win. It's important for our bowl eligibility. It's important for the confidence for the rest of the season. And we'd be in much worse situation because it's a game that we really want to win. Or imagine a season where the team is looking at the Rose Bowl and you're sitting in that same situation. So we really, I hope that this is a moment that means something to Tedford and he rethinks about his end-of-game strategies in the blowouts, both the losses and the wins. Okay, I think that's enough about that for this podcast. Some other topics of note, the slow start for the defense, particularly in containing the outside running game. Quiz actually didn't do that well in the middle. I mean, he had a couple of runs that were semi-notable, but for the most part, where he beat the Bears was in bouncing to the outside. The Bears collapsed very well on the line of scrimmage, but they didn't keep track of the cutback, and the outside linebackers weren't where they needed to be. And the safeties, by the way, they were collapsing in as well. And he burned us very badly on the outside. And actually, we saw the same thing against USC. And although a very different offense, we saw it in a huge magnitude against Nevada. And it seems to be an aspect of this defensive scheme that Pendergast better get a little better control over. And here's what I don't understand about the defense. Why is this the sort of thing that's changing home and away? Is it just that intensity thing? I mean, the Bears did look like they were a little slow, not hitting as hard, not as confident as they otherwise would be, and maybe that's it. And maybe the way they compensate for that is by overcommitting to certain areas of the field, like diving to the middle. But I think really there's two areas that this defense is susceptible, and two areas that I really hope our future opponents don't look at these last big two losses at as opportunities. Number one is the bouncing it outside thing. You have to look like you're going for the center run. The Bears will do well, for the most part, when you're running a sweep or something where it's obvious you're going to the outside. But if you're coming up the middle, the Bears will collapse in very hard, and you need to be telling your running backs, be ready for the bounce outside opportunity. Because it worked very well for Quiz today, and it worked very well for USC 2 weeks ago. The other area they seem really susceptible is their zone coverage, for whatever reason. It just seemed very porous. It hasn't seemed that way at home, and again, I don't get what it is about the home environment that would change that sort of things, because it's a schematic thing. It's not an effort thing. But they just seem like they were allowing the receivers to settle down in the holes in the zone and catching balls left and right. Now, one thing I think that was very impressive about Katz was he was very decisive. When they dropped into the hole in the zone, he got on the ball. There wasn't a delay. There wasn't a wait. And I think the Bear defense's inability to pressure him successfully did have an impact on that. But you can't have a defensive scheme that's entirely dependent on that disruption. The zones have to be good enough that it's not just blazingly easy to complete a ball if you're not getting to the quarterback. And I saw a lot of that. We're just very open zones and things not going all that well. So I really hope that they shore that up. Maybe there is some home component. Maybe there is an effort factor there. I don't know. But it will be a problem against good teams like Oregon and Stanford if we can't figure out a way to close down those windows in the zones. So let's look forward to the rest of the schedule. The Bears go on the road to Washington State, a game that I think with Manchin they still should be able to win if he can develop a little bit of a rhythm between now and next week. And even then, it doesn't have to be great. It just has to be good enough that we keep Washington State somewhat balanced. They don't have to be incredibly well balanced, somewhat balanced on defense. So I still think that's a game that we should win. Then we come back home for three games to finish off the season. We have Oregon at home. We have Stanford at home. We have Washington at home. And Washington is, of course, that game that everyone in their mind is pointing at and saying, that's win number six with a good performance, and I wholeheartedly agree with that. What we really want with Washington is for them already to have seven losses when they come to Berkeley. We don't want them to be hoping for bowl eligibility with a win in Berkeley. Right now they've got three wins. They're facing Stanford tonight. They have Oregon left. I was going to say that the key for Washington is that they don't have an opportunity for bowl eligibility when they come to Berkeley. And that's more or less true. The caveat is they have Washington State the week after us on the first weekend in December, the last weekend of the season. So really a dangerous situation would be if they have four wins at that point, because they would need both the win against us and Washington State for bowl eligibility, and they're going to be playing hard for that opportunity. They already have five, then sure, they're going to come to play, but it's not going to be the same. Unfortunately, if you look at their schedule, they've got Stanford this weekend, they've got Oregon the week after that, and then UCLA. And with only three wins right now, there's a good chance that they're not going to get wins number four and five. In fact, they may not get even win number four if they lose to UCLA, albeit that game is at home. If that's the case, if they're a three-win team by the time they get to our game, it's at the opposite end of where they would have hopefully lost some heart, making that game a little bit easier. But the reality is, either way, that's a game the Bears should be able to win, particularly if all the pieces are still in place and Riley's playing at that point. Now, Oregon, of course, is looking really strong, and that's going to be a very tough game for the Bears to win, particularly if Riley's not playing. But I think it's an opportunity. I think the Bears will play very loose for that game because they're expected to lose and there's not much to lose. So I'm not too concerned about that game because if we lose it, we lose it. The game that I really want the Bears to win is the big game. I really want to continue this trend of being the better team in the Bay Area. I think it's important for our fan base. I think it's important for our recruiting. I think it's important on a number of different angles that we continue to have this trend of being the stronger of the two teams. It really hurt the Bears in the late 80s and early 90s when they were a rising team that was getting better to keep getting beat by Stanford in the big game, because it really sucked a lot of the wind out of this concept that the Bears were back and real and for business. And when the Bears came up in this era, in the Tedford era, it really added credence to that return that we won those big games year after year after year. So now Harbaugh's finally breaking through with Stanford, and I think it's pretty important for the Bears that they steal that thing from them, that they don't allow them the joy that we had during the early Tedford era of capping off these successful seasons with big game wins. It really sucks the air out at the end of the season, similar to how a bowl game loss sucks the air out of the team. So, I mean, the way I see it, I think there's still three wins in this season left, and that would be three out of four. That would do good for the Bears' momentum. with the number of teams that aren't looking like they're going to make a bowl game that puts the Bears somewhere around the Sun or the Emerald. Really, it'd be nice to play in a bowl like the Sun if we could have that shot, because there is, even though it's kind of a weird bowl in a weird place, it's not the Emerald Bowl, which is just this kind of nothing home game that actually usually brings a pretty tough team from the ACC for whatever reason. So I really hope that we wouldn't be in the Emerald Bowl. But let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. The Bears need to go win some football. They need to go beat Washington State. And a lot of that's going to depend on whether Riley comes back or whether Manchin can find that rhythm. Which, there were some signs today. I know some may look at his performance today and say, oh my God, that was terrible. But at the same time, it wasn't... There was some development there. I was not at all concerned of whether we scored or anything like that. I was concerned with, is he getting the feel for the game? Is he learning the offense? Are those pieces starting to click? And actually, he doesn't even have to connect on that many of them. He just has to connect on a few, so that while he's at practice all week, those moments of, okay, I blew it on these 12 plays, and I was successful on these 3 plays, and seeing those same things in the defense at practice, they would reinforce those lessons. So it's not even that he needed to be successful. He just needed the experience. He just needed the opportunities. He just needed to see. Because sometimes you're so far down that you can't even see. My other hobby is as a sailor. And a lot of new sailors come in to our racing groups, and they're really far back. And they're just flabbergasted at how fast those of us who are up in the front of the pack are. And one of the pieces of advice I give them is focus really hard on staying close early. Get a good start off the start line and keep close to the fast boats early, because you'll get, for that first quarter of the race, experience and watching those boats close to you and seeing them. Because once they're 50, 100 yards out in front of you, you have no clue what they're doing and why they're so fast. And I've seen it time and again that as the boats start to do that and they get up closer for just a little while, then they start to see it. They see what we're doing that works the boat so much faster than them. And once that happens, once the progression comes much more quickly, it's like they go through a half season of just kind of not really sensing what they're doing wrong. They just know they're really slow, and then they get close enough, they have a few races and a few opportunities, and they stay close, and it all starts to fall into place. So it's the same kind of thing with Manchin. He doesn't even have to have made many plays. He just needs to be in the ballpark. He needs to see it develop. He needs to see where that opportunity was and know how he missed it. Whereas if he's so slow, if the game's so fast for him, he can't even have seen the opportunities, that's when there's real trouble. And from what I saw in the opportunities that he had, he wasn't way off the mark. He was a little hesitant, a little unsure, a little still figuring everything out. But I think with a week in practice as the potential starter and with the experience of this week, there's a good hope that he might come out of the tunnel next week with a lot more confidence and ready to see those things develop. And then next week's when you throw in a game plan that babies him a little bit at first. This week was not the week to do it. You throw the kitchen sink at him this week, the game's lost. You give him the opportunities. Next week, you start him out with some quick out patterns, some slants that are easy to read. And then as he builds that confidence early in the game, you open things up. But there's no reason to do that today, because it just steals from him opportunities to learn the offense. But overall, I mean, there just is something to this road problem. I think we do need to take a significant chunk out of how bad today was based on Riley missing for most of the game, but there's still so many other things there between the penalties, between the slow start on defense, the 14 points down right away, and then the 28. There's no way you can just chalk that up to that one injury. There was definitely something not quite right in the Bears' performance, even still. My guess is this game would have been a 17-35 type of game if Riley's in the game all day. And it would have been a late 17. The Bears would have needed a little while to get rolling, and it never would have been that close. It, you know, within two scores at the best. But never a game where you said, oh yeah, what a, you know, it wouldn't have been like Arizona or anything like that. So you can't deny that this team just isn't going out and executing and firing on the road like we really want them to do. And that's trouble. But hopefully Washington State won't prove to be that much of a struggle. I'd really love to see them go down to Arizona State this week and win to get that monkey off their back. And for us to go up to the frozen potato patch, as I tend to call it. It sure is not the frozen tundra next door to Idaho. And win that one. That's going to wrap up this edition of the On the Road Home podcast. Jason and I should have a midweek podcast as always. Thanks for listening, and go Bears. On the road again.